Okay. Okay, y'all can be seated. Sorry. So every time we have English service, we try and have a missions moment. And today, we have asked Hannah not only to lead worship, but also to share a little bit about where she's at, and the Lord's been doing some things in her life, and I've asked her to share that with us today. I'm super grateful she's willing to. Go ahead, Hannah.
Thanks, Micah. Well, hello. If you don't know me, you know me now. but yeah, I'm really excited to be up here and to share what God's been doing in my heart. It's kind of been a five-year process, but God, especially this past year, has been really moving my heart to pursue missions. And even recently, as of now, I'm at the process where I'm going to be probably accepting a position in Japan. And Lord's just really called that people out to me, and I'm just excited to be obedient to where the Lord's leading me. But in the process, I still have a long ways to go. They do a lot of things ahead of time to make sure that, you know, to vet people out and to make sure that you're prepared. They want prepared people over there, which is a good thing. And I'm really excited to be a part of that. But so yeah, just if I could have some prayer through this process, I'm hoping maybe to be there by the point of the next year, but as the Lord has it, I'm excited to whatever timing he has for me. But yeah, there's a lot of just homework and different things that I'm working on while I have a full-time job in town, and I'm just really excited to be pursuing what God has instructed me to do. Yeah.
Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting? So we're just super thankful of what God has done in Hannah's life and to be able to walk with her through this and for the church to walk with her through this. I'm thankful for her serving with us in the middle of this transition for her. But yeah, hopefully we'll hear more in the days and weeks and months to come. But let's pray for her. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Hannah. Lord, we thank you for her willingness to go. God, she's very established here, has a great job, and yeah, her community and her family's here. But she just feels you pulling her to the nations to go to a people that have few churches, have few gospel witnesses, and go and to share your name. So we pray, God, for her in these next weeks and months that you would help her to abide deeply, draw closer and closer to you as she prepares to go. Pray that us and the church can pray for her and encourage her as she leaves us and leaves College Station and heads out. Lord, again, we thank you for this. Thank you for her testimony and her story. To you be the glory. In Jesus' name. All right, thank you. All right. So the title of the sermon today is Lock In. So that's a kind of a newer phrase, more for this generation probably. My generation used to get in the zone. Okay, people before that might have used put your nose to the grindstone. That's a scary one. What else? I've read brass tacks, time to get down to brass tacks. I'm not real sure what that means. But it's a time that it's at the end of the semester. So for the students, for the teachers, we're kind of locking in, focusing in, how do we finish well? And that's kind of where we're going. I think in a way, that's what Jesus is telling his disciples here in John 15. He's saying, I'm about to leave. Time for you guys to lock in, abide in me, dwell in me, stand in me, endure, be present, lock in, because it's about to get serious. So today we're in John 15, 1 through 11. I'll read that for us, and then we'll get more into it. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that he does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. So when we're looking at the Bible, context is king. So what comes before and after a passage is really important. So we're looking at this passage here. We're looking at one of Jesus' last intimate times with his disciples. So we have John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, are all kind of what we call in the upper room, the Last Supper. And he's telling them, I'm about to leave. So he's giving them this final teaching. And he starts with washing their feet, which is kind of a gross thing to do. I don't think any of us, Pastor Jerry maybe can do that, just show us how it's done later on. But just washing feet, just saying, I'm here to serve you, and as I leave, you're to serve each other. He continues on, and he has to talk about Judas's betrayal. He knows one of his disciples is going to betray him, which is a very sad thing, a very heavy thing. He moves on to say, you know, you're to love one another. Even though Judas is about to betray, you're to love one another. He moves on to talk about how Peter's going to fail. Peter fails, and there's three times that he denies Christ. Also, another pretty big thing that's about to come. He's talking about these heavy things. He says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to be your helper, to teach you these things, to remind you these things. He says, you know, do not let your hearts be troubled. He tells them, he reminds them, I'm the way and the truth and the life. He tells them he's the vine and they are the branches, that we can do nothing apart from him. Again, he's about to leave, so he's reminding them that even though I leave, you're to love each other, but you're to stay connected to me. And then we have the very, very beautiful, we call it the high priestly prayer in English. Even though he has overcome the world, he will overcome death, and he's praying for his disciples as he's about to leave. And one thing he prays over and over is for unity. And he's saying, you know, be unified, be one, as I and the Father are one. He's challenging them to be unified because he knows unity's hard. In a family, it's hard. In a work, it's hard. In church, it's hard. And the closer you get to somebody, the harder it gets. Before I got married, somebody said, you and your wife are going to fight more than anybody else in the world. I'm like, that's great. Really exciting. Thanks for the encouragement. And that's been true at times, especially earlier on, but because we're close. And the closer you get to someone, the more you can argue and disagree. So Jesus is reminding his disciples of that. We've got four chapters, and y'all, we could spend our whole like life, the whole rest of the history of this church, just dissecting, just looking at these four chapters. So there's a lot in here. So we're just going to look at John 15. Part of what we're going to talk about today is discipleship. And have y'all heard this phrase before? I think I did. It's a verb as well, to disciple someone. I remember I started hearing this in college. We didn't talk much about it before I was in college, or maybe my church didn't. And the Chinese word is shunlian, right? Or menxun. There's different ways to say discipleship. And that shun kind of means to train, right? And I remember seeing junxun when I was in China, right? So junxun is military training. So I remember we were like in a kindergarten, and there was elementary school right outside of our window when we first moved to China, and all the kids would go through military training. I was scared to death. I was like, what's going on? I was like, are there guns in the school? Oh, like, are these kids really ready to take up arms and go to battle? I didn't know, but it was scary. I'm like, I sure hope not. I'm going to kind of be cool around these kids because they might all have guns. I didn't know. But I think we have this idea, like, you know, discipleship is to train us up to follow the Lord, to intentionally grow in maturity and become more like him in his faith, in his thoughts, in his actions, in his words. And Jesus said, you know, what Hannah's about to do, go and make disciples of all nations. That's part of what we're called to do as Christians, to take the gospel to all nations, which some places don't even speak English or Chinese. So Hannah's going to have to learn Japanese, right? So this is not an easy task. And Jesus taught a lot of things. Even in these four chapters, he taught a lot of things. But thankfully, he summed it up with love God and love others. So that's the way he summed up his commandments. Love God, love others. This is something I totally copied it from some friends for like a family form of discipleship. These are some of our family goals. Love God, love others. Obey God, serve others. Receive grace, which means kind of receive forgiveness, but also give grace, give forgiveness. And then know God, know God's word, know about him, but also know others, know how to love others, know how to communicate to others. So there's this like, this whole thing is really under love God, love others. But this is something we did just to kind of help communicate it to the kids when they're younger. And, of course, we bribed them to learn it. and they would get like a dollar for everyone they could remember, or a kwai. I was cheaper back in the day. Maybe it was just renminbi. But in this, it says, also in this passage we're looking at today, verse 5, it says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So we've got these commands, love God, love others, but apart from him, we can do nothing. So it kind of, in a way, it kind of lets us off the hook. But in a way, it kind of says the most important thing you can do is stay grounded and plugged into Jesus. And that's what we're talking about today. That's what this passage is about, the vine. Yeah, I planted you a choice vine. This is from Jeremiah 2, 21 and 23-ish. Holy of pure seed, how then have you turned degenerate and become a wild vine? Though you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, the stain of your guilt is still before me, declares the Lord. How can you say I'm not unclean? I've not gone after the balls. Look at your way in the valley. Know what you have done. So God chose a people. In the Old Testament, many of us know that, the Israelites, the Jews, the Hebrews, God chose a people to be his special people. He chose them that they might honor him and walk with him and love him, and he would show all the nations how great he is because of the way his people worshiped him. But what we see over and over and over again throughout the Bible is his people that he created, that he selected to honor and worship him and know him, that he wanted to bless, keep walking away. Over and over again. They even go after false gods. They go after idols. And in a way, that's like you and me, right? I think we all do that. We all chase the wrong things at times. We're never fully clean. We even go after idols. Maybe not like idols made from gold and silver, but idols made out of comfort. And idols that taste delicious. And idols of pride. And we all chase after an idol of some form. But there's one that didn't. And we call it, Jesus is the true vine. So in the same way God chose a people and put them in a dark place and intended for them to walk after him, they failed over and over again. God also chose his son and sent Jesus into a dark world. And Jesus is the true vine. He's the one that never chased after idols. He's the one that perfectly produced the fruit of God. He's the one, he never bowed his knee to anything else. He always put God and God's kingdom first. So he is the true vine that God intended for his people, but we continue to mess these things up. We continue to sin over and over again. So God sent his son, who is the true vine. And this, what we're reading today, I am the true vine, is the last of his I am statements. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door to the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here we see it says, I am the true vine. And the true vine is also expected to produce fruit. Like we are expected, we read from this passage this morning, we're expected to produce fruit, to have spiritual fruit in our life. And this is from Galatians 2. These are the kind of fruit he's talking about. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Are these the things that mark you? When people think about you, is this like, oh man, that is totally Micah. Now, I've got a lot of unspiritual fruit. I like to say I have the unspiritual fruit of trash talking if I'm playing sports. I have the unspiritual fruit of being good at shopping. I've got the unspiritual fruit of, saying awkward things. I can do that. My wife is laughing the loudest. So we have a lot of unspiritual fruit in our life. Not to say just unspiritual fruit. I've got a lot of the opposite. I've got anger and frustration and impatience and gossip. The spiritual fruit are not really what comes out of me naturally. Anybody else? Okay, we've got a couple of honest people. Right? Okay. But you know, what we want to come out of us, what God has called to come out of us, is not really what comes out of us. And it's tough. So this is the internal fruit, but also the external. Serving others. You know, giving people rides, cooking food. So many people serve here to cook food. Taking care of those that don't have anything. Taking care of the elderly. Taking care of the younger. There's a lot of other external fruits, too, that God's called us to. But they don't always come out of us like we desire. So I think this passage reminds us that as we stay connected to the vine, as we stay connected to Jesus, spiritual fruit comes from him. Has anybody been to HEB recently? Everybody shy or lying? Come on. Okay. All right. So, you know, like, I love to go to HEB, and right now they just have, we don't have HEB in China or Cambodia, right? So it's a pretty cool grocery store. Right now they just have the cotton candy grapes come out. Who's seen those? Have you had the cotton candy grapes? They're incredible. So, I mean, maybe some of you made them. I assume they're maybe, I thought they were GMO, right? Genetically modified fruit. I thought they were that. So I love them, so we started researching them to see, like, how did they make these things? Where do they come from? And what we found is it was just cotton candy flavoring sprayed on top of the fruit. Oh, that's super disappointing, right? I'm like, how great, it's a chemical. Oh, that's cool, you made a chemical. So for those that are, you know, PhDs in horticulture or some kind of science area, please create them naturally. So we don't have to eat these ones that have stuff sprayed on them. After I started eating them, I know that they have a spray on them, I didn't really want to eat them anymore. It sounded gross, right? I want it to come from within the fruit, not from outside on top of the fruit. And honestly, I think a lot of that is the way we treat the Lord, right? We try and put on this face of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and we try and paint ourselves or spray this on us so it gives us the appearance like we're being good people. It gives us the appearance of like we do have this self-control, we do have this love, we do have this kindness. But pretty quick, we and others come to realize it's not really coming from within us. And it's exhausting to try and pretend like we're something we're not. What this passage is telling us, spiritual fruit comes from Jesus. And the more we focus on the external fruit, the less we're going to get it. The more we stay connected to the vine, spend our life with Him, the more likely we are to start to produce those fruit in our life. There is a phrase of spiritual disciplines. Have we heard of that before? Like praying, reading the Word, worship, fellowship, fasting, different things we do to help us stay connected. But when we hear that, I sometimes hear work, right? I've got to do all these things. It doesn't get me real excited. A pastor I heard one time, he said, I don't like to call them spiritual disciplines. I like to call them a means of grace. So if we want to receive more grace, if we want to understand the Lord more, if we want to stay connected, God has blessed us and given us these spiritual disciplines or means of grace to stay close to Him. And as we stay connected to this vine, this fruit will start to come out of us. We might not be aware of it, but we will start to reap the spiritual fruit. So follow Jesus. Don't follow the fruit. When I was little, I don't know if anybody else was like this, I really wanted to run fast. Maybe as we're older, we really want to run fast, right? We got some runners in the room. Okay, back there in the AV, I know we got a runner as well. So now everybody's buying the carbon-plated shoes, right? Back in the day, it was just, if you had a pair of Nikes, you could run faster. So any kind of Nikes. So I got some, and I was like, my mom got me a pair of Nikes. I was so happy. I remember this was like preschool, I think. And I was like, I'm going to take the fastest guy in school on. It's go time. I'm locking in, right? Put my nose to the grindstone. I'm about to race this guy. And I had my new Nike shoes on, and I took off. And he took off, and I never saw him again. He smoked me. He was so far ahead of me by the end that I was like, what's wrong with these shoes? Are they broken? Are they fake? Do I need to take them back? So the problem was not with the shoes. Where was the problem? The problem was with me, right? And I think sometimes we're the same. We're chasing after fruit. We're chasing after the best equipment, the best methodology, the best church, the best worship, the best mics. We're chasing after all the best stuff. But really, we need an internal heart change. And we have to stay connected to the Lord. That's where the change comes from. Just like our salvation comes from Jesus, any spiritual fruit we could ever have also comes from Jesus. We also have a vine dresser. That's God the Father. So when you think about a vine dresser, we're thinking about somebody doing what? Many of us have gardens. I know Daga has a garden, right? And we're in there, we have to weed it, right? We have to cut things out. Grapevines need a lot of aggressive pruning. You have to stay on top of it and prune them and cut and prune them and cut and prune them and cut. If not, they don't produce fruit. Thankfully, our God is doing the same thing. He takes his knife, and he cuts us, and he prunes us, and he causes us to see our sin. He causes us to repent of our sin, and he's chipping away, and he's cutting away, and he's cutting off the things that are not of him. And it hurts. And it's really, really hard to say, I'm sorry. I messed up. I didn't say the right thing. I was lazy. God is using these things to cut away at our flesh so that we'll produce fruit and glorify him. Peter said this very well. I'm going to read 1 Peter, but y'all think about who Peter was. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. Though you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus. Peter says trials end up being more precious than gold. So it's easy for me to look at the book of Peter and forget about the life of Peter. Peter's the one that denied Christ 3 times. He went through some very difficult times, some very low moments. But those low moments God used to refine his faith and cause him to stay connected to the vine. James says the same thing. He says, consider it what?
Pure joy.
When you win the lottery? No, consider it pure joy when trials and sufferings come, because it's producing endurance. So the vine dresser is chipping away. Maybe there's some things in your life right now that's causing you to pray, causing you to seek the Lord. Consider it pure joy, because God is using this to prune us. Abiding empowers and refines prayer. I think if you're like me, we don't read this whole verse. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Wow, finally got the genie in the bottle I've been looking for, right? I can rub it. I get whatever I want. Ask whatever you wish. You know, God, I really need good grades. God, I really need to get into med school. God, I really need this tenureship. God, I really need my kids to follow you. God, I really need some more money so that I can keep some for myself, give some to the church. God, I really need to not do dishes anymore. They make me so angry. God, I really need to not do laundry. Right? We tend to ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Let's read the whole verse. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That's a different ballgame, right? So when we look at the Lord's Prayer, even the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We're seeking to glorify him. Give us this day our daily bread so that what? We might depend upon him every day. Forgive us our sins is assuming what? We're still sinners. As we forgive those who sin against us, stay in community, stay in relationship, fight for these relationships. So as we ask these things, if we ask them according to his word, we're really asking God, glorify your name, provide just what I need, and Lord, help me to stay in good relationship with other people. You know, that's praying according to God's word. So abiding empowers and refines prayer. Abiding brings about a deep love for God and others. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Again, this is the time we're talking about Judas. We're talking about Peter. We're talking about people about to make mistakes. And he's saying, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus loved us even when we're stinky, even when we're sinful, even when we were enemies of God. Christ died for us. This is one that I don't think many people would say today. Let's look at this. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there, remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So like, did Jesus just say don't tithe? Like, don't bring your offering if you have a problem or somebody has a problem with you? Is that what he's really saying? I mean, that's kind of crazy. But that's kind of the depth that Jesus is requiring of us. That's what he's calling us to do. He wants our heart. He wants this internal heart posture of humility, of pursuing unity, more so than he wants even our offering. At this point in time, to do this was super inconvenient. They had to walk a long ways because they were likely in one place and had to go to another place. It was super inconvenient to do this, but God is saying if someone has something against you first, don't tithe. Reconcile. Abiding brings deep love for God and for others. Abiding brings deep joy. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. When I first started walking with the Lord, I used to read Psalm 37:4. Anybody know that one? You should love it. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Like, I found a loophole, because I really wanted a wife at the time. I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to have my quiet time every day. Okay, I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to spend time in Bible study every day. I'm going to do the right things every day so that I'll get a wife. Because she was fast. It's really hard to get a ring on her finger. But I really wanted to get a ring on her finger. And so I was trying to manipulate God. Anybody else done that? Okay, now we're getting more honest, okay? We're trying to manipulate God. I'm trying to say, God, I delight myself in you. Give me the desires of my heart. But what happens in the course of this, as I spent time in his word, as I spent time with God, the desires of my heart changed. I still wanted a wife, but it wasn't my greatest pursuit. It started to be that actually my greatest desire was really more of God. So by delighting ourselves in God, we want more of God. And what God gives us is more of himself. Isn't that beautiful? So he's spoken these things that we might abide in him, stay connected to him, that his joy may be in us. A joy coming from the throne room of God through Jesus will come into our heart and our joy will be made full. So even in Deuteronomy, we have the same concept. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. When you're walking along the way, by the way, when you lie down, when you rise, when you're in your house, speak of God. Take these, your love for God, and pass it to the next generation. Do it naturally. When your kids are in the room, it's never natural. It's always awkward, and I guess that's the way God intends it because the kids always fight back and don't ever want to, like, cooperate. But just keep speaking of God. Keep talking about him all the time in all facets and aspects of your life. Keep talking about him. Discipleship is often, Pastor Jerry said this, it's like head, heart, and hands. And it's a balance, right? Of a head, of knowledge, of a heart, emotion, and hands of actually doing. And we need to have balance with that. Some of us have big heads and little hearts. Toda shenxiao, right? Some of us might have big hands, but little heads. So it's a balance. We want to keep growing in all three of these aspects. Abiding makes disciples. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So abiding causes us to make disciples. But it says here, be strong. First, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Stay connected to the vine. Stay connected to Jesus. Then, out of that, you will teach others who will teach others. I love Stephen. In the Bible, I love Peter, I also love Stephen. Do y'all remember Stephen? Remember the story of Stephen? Stephen was chosen to do what? Serve tables, right? So they lost somebody, they needed some people to come in and help out with serving tables, to take care of the food, make sure all the widows got the food they needed. So he chose Stephen, and that was his job. Stephen, we are choosing you to serve tables. Okay, and that's about all we hear about Stephen serving tables. Later on, we hear more about Stephen. When they selected him, they said he was a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. So a godly man, but we're going to choose this very godly man to serve tables. And the next thing we know, Stephen is out, not disobeying, but he's out healing people, sharing the gospel, to the point to where he eventually gets martyred. They stone him to death. So, you know, Stephen had a job to serve tables. That was his role in the early church. But he was so connected to Jesus, he was so passionate about Jesus, he was so in love with Jesus to where he was out healing people. I mean, he wasn't even doing what he was supposed to do, but
it just overflowed in the rest of his life to where he was out. He died. He didn't die for serving tables. Probably nobody's going to kill you for serving tables, right? You're safe. So if you want to serve on there in the FLC, go ahead, do it. You're fine. But Stephen was so full of the Spirit, so in love with Jesus, so connected to Jesus to where he was out preaching the gospel all in his spare time, and it resulted in his death, getting stoned. I love that passage. As you see Stephen dying, he looks up, and he had the face of an angel. And he was looking up, and he was seeing Jesus, and it says here, like, Jesus was standing. And it's hard to know exactly why Jesus was standing, but some people think he might have been clapping. He was, like, him and Stephen had this special connection, even though Stephen's role was to serve tables. But he was out, and he died for his faith. Abiding gets you selected to maybe do some things in the cafeteria, maybe do some things to serve people, but it also results in making disciples. So we don't want to chase the fruit. I think as people, it's real easy to be religious and say, I'm going to chase the fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience. I'm going to spray this on me so when I'm around people, they will get the impression that I'm a good, godly person. So we've chased the fruit. And just like those grapes gave me the impression they had been genetically modified, but they weren't. They just had some chemical sprayed on them. But I think for us, the same way, we want to be connected to Jesus in such a way that the fruit comes out of us rather than so that we won't be pursuing the fruit. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's what we're doing. We're seeking God's kingdom, his righteousness. All these other things will be added. Y'all remember Mary and Martha? Mary did what? She sat at Jesus' feet, listened to him teach. Martha was running around busy, giving the impression of serving. But Jesus is like, the most important thing is right here. I'm sitting right here. Come sit with me. Recently was able to be with a Chinese pastor who came out of China, came to the U.S. And I was, you know, came out of the early house church movement. Christians everywhere, miracles everywhere, all these crazy things happening. And I've heard this from other Chinese Christians as well as they come to the States. I'm like, what do you think about the American church? What do you think they say? It's kind of disappointing. Right? They're like, it's a little bit disappointing. We thought we were coming to this great American church that's doing all these wonderful things, these big, beautiful buildings, big, great screens, great worship, everything's wonderful, but we come and we're like, man, y'all have got a lot of amazing fruit. You've got great gifts, great talents, great facilities. Everything's great. Except for, you know, I just don't really feel the presence of God when I'm there. Ouch. That's kind of the thing, right? As Christians, we want to be known by the presence of God in our life more than anything else. I think that's what Jesus is saying. You're going to be tempted to just put on the fruit or pursue the fruit or give the impression of godliness. Stay connected to me. So abide beyond Sunday. So I've heard somebody say, you know, if you want to worship well Sunday morning, take your Monday to Saturday worship with you to church on Sunday. Take your Monday to Saturday time with Jesus to church on Sunday. And we're not just a Sunday Christian. We want to walk with Jesus all the time. And that's what we take this church on Sunday. And many of you, I think some of us are in transition. I know especially y'all too. Anybody else about to move or about to move on to something different in life? I just want to challenge y'all, stay in the vine. It's going to be very challenging as you get busy, you move on to new school, new work, new life. Wherever we are, maybe somebody's getting a new position at school, university, it's really easy to let your quiet time slide. So I'll do that later. I'm so busy today. I've got so many projects. Let me take care of work first. I'll take care of my walk with Jesus later. But then all of a sudden, you become dry and brittle, and there's no fruit in your life and no joy in your life, and you've totally lost your direction. So y'all be careful. You know, right now y'all got such a good, godly community. Churches, Bible studies, Christian friends, but it can be dry out there. So be careful. Stay connected to the vine. I think for Michelle and I, when coming back to the States, it's really easy to want to pursue the American dream. But Jesus says, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. So we've got to keep fighting for this connection. Keep fighting to stay abiding in the vine. So today we're going to close with this. I'm going to go ahead and have the worship team come back up. But where are your challenging situations causing you to turn? Something's tough in your life. Are you looking for more money? Are you looking for more power? Are you looking for more help from man? You're impatient. Things are falling apart at home. Where are you turning? Some people turn to alcohol or food or friends or look outside the church. But if you're not turning to Jesus, it's an idol. And where do we need pruning? What does pruning look like right now? Where do we need God in love to take his knife to some of us? Cut our heart a little bit, cut our branches a little bit so that we'll produce fruit. And the last question is, does Jesus impact every part of your life or just Sundays? I think the call is for him to impact every part of our life. So if you want to take a picture, you can take a picture, take this home, talk about it as a family. But I'm gonna pray for us, and then we'll close with a song. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would prune me. God, I pray that you'd prune each and every one of us and cause us to pray, cause us to get in your word, cause us to get on our knees, cause us to connect with you. Pray that we wouldn't have all the appearances of Christianity without Christ. Pray that we wouldn't have all the appearances of following God but not have your presence in our life. So, Lord, we pray that you would produce your fruit in us. Thank you, God, for this church, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to be here. Thank you for the growth you're giving to each and every one of us. Pray that you would be glorified. It's in Jesus' name.